Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob, Scott, and Becky all discover what is the difference between grocery store and boutique wines as they drink the Kim Crawford Sauvignon Blanc and Turley's Napa Valley Sauvignon Blanc. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault.
Welcome to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy, and tonight, I am joined by Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver.
Good evening. You know, you don't sound very enthusiastic. You should be enthusiastic about this show.
I'm enthusiastic. However, Triple B is on tonight, and I believe she is the object of this show. She is the person being tortured by this show that has been curated by the unlicensed taxi driver. Although, tortured is a strong term, because two wines that theoretically you should love, correct?
Yeah, I don't know why you would say tortured when I get to drink two Sauvignon Blancs.
That's true, but you have to choose between...
It's not a Sophie's choice for me.
And not only that, but what two Sauvignon Blancs?
Well, on tonight's show, folks, we have a collection of Sauvignon Blancs. This is not a wine versus wine. It is not, because you can't... This isn't a fair comparison. What we're doing is tonight, we're having a...
It's Battle of the Sauvignon Blancs. No, don't be a baby.
It is not.
Don't
it
be
is
a baby.
An industry standard versus a luxury brand. That's what we're doing. And we're not saying which one is better. We know normally the luxury brand would be better, but we're saying...
We don't know that.
What is the difference between a wine that is grocery store, but we know solid, consistent every year, and then what is something that is hard to find, elusive, and fancy? So on tonight's show...
It's also New Zealand versus Cali.
It is. I mean, it is. It is a New Zealand wine, and that would be from Kim Crawford. The Kim Crawford Sauvignon Blanc. We've had that on the show. We've had their signature on the show. We'll just leave it at that. Their signature's terrible, but that's okay.
Yeah, their regular's so good.
Mm-hmm.
It's $17-ish, usually.
Yeah, about that. Or even sometimes $15.
But you can also find it at restaurants, too.
You can. You can
not Applebee's, but like,
well, I've never looked at the wine and listed Applebee's.
I think it's all
Cupcake.
Oh no.
Turning Ridge.
You mean Turning Leaf?
Turning Ridge.
Well, there could be a winery named Turning Ridge, but Steve would know that. He drinks it. Well, the other one, the luxury brand. This is by Turley, and it's their Napa Valley Sauvignon Blanc. How many vintages have they done this? Maybe two, three?
I think this is third or fourth year.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And it comes in around...
I didn't know it was
that new. What is this? We get it for what? About high 20s, low 30s?
I want to say it's 28. Yeah. But it's,
if you found it retail, which I don't think you can, it's probably $30 to $40.
Well, in California, you can find this.
No, probably.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not out here, though. Not in the Midwest. Oh. That is Maggie Jo, by the way.
She's complaining that you can't get the Turley.
Yeah, she feels our
in
pain.
The Midwest.
Mm-hmm. She does. But nevertheless, tonight, which wine is better? Well, we know which wine probably would be better, but what is the difference between California versus New Zealand? What is the difference between grocery store versus boutique? Where do you see those differences? We're going to find out tonight as soon as we come back here on the Wine Vault. Hey everybody, it's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker, or Podbean, or some other app I've never heard of, but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. And we're back, folks. So, Kim Crawford Sauvignon Blanc versus Turley Napa Valley Sauvignon Blanc.
I'm sure there are some reviews from Kim Crawford. Did anybody pull those up? I did not print them off this time.
My review's always really good.
I know. I've already done your score of integrity. Yes.
You put 100.
And then I added 2 points to that. So. Mm-hmm. Nevertheless.
And if I think longtime listeners will know that you all are giving me some grief because I love, love, love Kim Crawford. But I hope that if you haven't tried it or you're a newish listener, you will try it because it just is a really, really nice Sauvignon Blanc. You're not going to be disappointed with it. It's going to be the same all the time.
I shared this with my mom and got a couple bottles for it. Excuse me, Christmas. Mm-hmm. She loves it.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Are you okay?
I don't know. I have several friends that I've recommended it to, and everyone's like, oh, that was a great recommendation. It is so good.
Well, it's fairly...
There's nothing like...
It has a broad appeal.
Yeah.
Let's just say. And it's a good gateway wine. Because it has
nice.
Yeah, lots of tropical fruits. I'm not trying to insult it by saying I think it's the Kendall Jackson version of Chardonnay in Sauvignon Blanc. Sort of.
I think that's, in its own way, a compliment. That's
it
like,
is.
You know,
Kendall, there's nothing wrong with Kendall Jackson.
And it's good. It's always good from vintage to vintage. I mean,
it's quintessential.
Meiomi, but it's the Bud Light of wine.
No.
It is. It's consistently what it is. Yeah, it's but not
but Meiomi,
what we like.
Meiomi's
but
doing that with...
people do.
But no, people are stupid. Meiomi's doing that with Pinot Noir.
I get it.
That's not... No. You don't do that.
But they like it. They do. They
Pinot
do
Noir
it.
Is good. Sacred ground. Chardonnay. Okay.
Now,
so,
you're being offensive to some of our listeners who are Chardonnay drinkers.
What Chardonnay? There are no Chardonnay. If they're drinking the El Emigio, then okay, I get that. I'm a Chardonnay drinker too, but not. So in the glass, we're starting off with the Kim Crawford.
Yeah.
The you know, visually very similar, but on the nose, you have a kaleidoscope of tropical fruits, grapefruit,
straw colored.
Yeah,
fair enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very much.
You're trying to rush through this.
He is Russian.
No, I'm not.
Mm-hmm. He's going to be the Russian judge, too, I'm predicting.
No, I'm not,
Conrad.
Straw.
I would say straw.
Straw? Straw-ish.
Very similar.
It almost has a little bit of a pina colada.
Yes.
Smell to it.
We're talking about the Kimmy now?
Mm-hmm. Yes. And that's what I was referring to, but I was trying to say it nicer than that.
No, I mean that as a compliment. Okay. I don't mean that as a negative.
Tropical fruits.
Yeah. Classic New Zealand.
Pina coladas are so good.
Well, they are good. I mean,
so
you know.
Good.
Okay,
there's
fair enough.
Nothing wrong with it.
Yeah. That would suggest it smells sugary.
Well, it's just, it takes you to a beach drink.
Yeah.
The nose.
On the palate, frankly, you could drink that all day long. It has a very nice, soft palate. However, it has lovely pineapple, peach, and then it finishes with a quintessential New Zealand pink grapefruit with acidity. Very clean, very straightforward, but very well done.
Something that, you know, sometimes when you get grapefruit, you get the bitterness of the grapefruit. This avoids that. It doesn't have the bittery...
This is actually one of the nicer versions that we've tasted.
Yeah.
Honestly, in my opinion.
What year is this one?
Yeah, what is this, 2020? I think it's 2020.
19.
Are you sure?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
They do have some reviews that we skip by.
Oh. Go ahead.
By all means, they'll give us a chance.
Wait a second.
Wilford.
Hold on.
Commentary.
You're scaring the child.
The 2019 Kim Crawford Sauvignon Blanc
is appealing. That's not funny.
And an excellent example of its category.
It sounds like you're taking a crap.
Bo was even a little bit concerned.
Please don't do
he
that.
He put anymore. His head up like, what is
happening? I'll look it
up. It's wine.com.
Here we are. Oh, so the 2020 has no reviews, but we're the 19, huh? All right, here, hold on. Okay,
wait a second. Okay. This is Wilford. Good God, that was a horrible
review. I don't know why you act like Scott did a bad one.
Well, this is minus Mine is Melotus or Melanopodus or.
I love that you dissed his.
It's like listening. Awful voice too. It's like listening to a dove, or something. Yes. So I said commentary. The 19 Kim Crawford Sauvignon Blanc is appealing, like me, and an excellent example of its category. What? What is this category? Tasting notes. This wine exhibits aromas and flavors of dried lemon peel, grapefruit skin, and dried earth. Enjoy it with a dozen raw oysters. Yes. Or mango chutney. Yes.
What does he say about grapefruit what?
Grapefruit skin.
Skin.
I'll give you that.
You remove a skin from the grapefruit.
Stop.
It's not disturbing if you hear me say it.
Also, folks, this is Tim Atkins. Yes, I did not review this wine, of course, but the tasting panel did. They had a quorum one night, and all five of them. And they said grapefruit nose. Yes, juicy and bright citrus, and with a smooth, ripe hint of sweetness on the back of the palate. Layered and mellow. Long and balanced. 91 of their points. And Wilford gave it 91 of his points. And then the enthusiast gave it a 90 of their points. Oh, by the way, after a string of... And this is what the enthusiast said. After a string of tough vintages that didn't wear well in the famous brand's Sauvignons, this latest release is back up to snuff. And they're talking about the 18. The 18 was bad across the board for Sauvignon Blanc. We didn't have the 18 at King Crawford, but we did, Brancott? And it was horrid.
Yeah, it was that bad.
It tasted like lime juice.
Was it too hot?
No, it was just
that
mess.
Year.
Wasn't it a lot of rain? I think it was a rain.
I forget what the problem was. In New Zealand.
I think it was a rain.
It was
out.
Like a weather deal.
Yeah, it was a weather deal, and so the whole crop was terrible.
But I'll be honest, I had the 18. That's the one I first showed my ma, and it wasn't that bad.
Well, the enthusiast doesn't know their ass from a hole.
It's not as good as this.
No, probably not. No. Mm-hmm.
Mm. And probably Kim Crawford was able to, I don't know, not doctor, it's not the right word, but make enough adjustments to make it be good.
Yellow Death. No. Mountain Dew. They put a little Mountain Dew in it.
I wish you all could see me rolling my eyes.
It is still, though. We had it in can. I don't know if it was a year ago or so. And we weren't too keen on it. But that would have been the 18, and it wasn't still.
But it was in a can?
It was, yeah.
Kim
in a can, yep.
Huh.
Like Albert in a can.
Oh, you're right.
Prince Albert in a can.
I forgot about that. We did have Kim in a can.
Mm-hmm.
Did it come in a...
Four-pack,
four
I think.
Four-pack, that's what I was thinking. Mm-hmm.
But this is a lovely example of New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc. I don't know what the category Wilfred's talking about.
I just think of New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc.
That's not a category.
Well, he's a category.
He's a category. He's a Section 8, I believe is what they say.
Well,
what? I'm fantastic. People love me.
If he was Klinger, they'd have let him out of the army.
I'm so popular in Cambodia, people just don't even know what to say when I go in there. I'm not allowed anymore, but that's different.
Well,
they have my they have my picture at the airport.
Your pictures in a lot of airports.
I know, and post offices too.
That's not a good thing.
No, I don't know why. And I'm on this website.
Before you all get too far down this road.
What? Yes.
Can we talk a little bit about the classical differences between Cali and New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc?
We can, and the best way to do that is to then move on to the Turley.
Mm-hmm. We did not talk about the texture of this wine.
Mm, well, let's do that.
The texture on the Kim Crawford, it does have acidity at the finish. However, that is the only aspect, I believe, that is in any way, shape, or form tart or acidic. The rest of it has a wonderful, I wouldn't call it lithy, but...
I was going to say lithy. That's the word in my mind.
It's a little weightier than that, though. It's not bad.
Slightly weightier. Than that, but so. it has a there's a texture about it. It's not lean, but yet it's It's got a lithiness about it. You have a mouthfeel there. It's not oily. It's not dairy. But it's just a nice little mouthfeel that coats your tongue. It yeah. sits there a little bit. It resides. And I think that's where that tart finish comes into play. Because that coating on your tongue just sits there for a second.
Yeah. It's not what I call it.
I'm glad that you brought that up, Scott. Because sometimes we see like a waxiness. Mm. Or, but I don't... It's not any of those.
It didn't go that far, no.
It's not quite there, but it has, which would be nice. It would be okay.
Yeah.
It has body, but it doesn't do that, though, with oak. Stainless. So that's one thing. New Zealand starts off, most New Zealand Sauvignon Blancs, at least the ones that we normally have, are not oaked.
Correct.
Uh-huh. And not to say that there aren't expensive ones that they oak, but your normal, like this one, is unoaked. California, however, on occasion... do oak their Sauvignon Blancs. Not all, but when you get into the more expensive price ranges, they do, yeah. most generally. Not severely. Not like a Chardonnay, but they do oak it. So this wine has a backbone and a slight, I would say it just has a touch of creaminess from the body. And but that's not from oak. That's just the fruit. That's just the fruit.
It's just a wonderful glass of wine. This is so high on the drinkability
scale.
It's
a nice glass of wine, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's so like high. 99 you know, on the
old
drinkability.
Oh, yeah. Superstar. How many bottles of this could you drink?
Yeah.
How many do you got?
Well, I think Steve would just take it as an IV. He would just skip the drinking part.
It's so good. It's light. It's airy. It is summertime in a bottle. I mean, it is so good.
It has the... mouthfeel of a nice mousse would be light and like but it has a little bit of
lemon chiffon.
Yes, it has structure, but it's not what I call lithy, mind you. But it has structure, but it's not flabby. It's never flabby, but it's not flabby because of acidity rounding it out. It does have the acidity, but the acidity is a separate thing. It itself is contained, so maybe the acidity is there lightly in the background, cleaning it up, but it doesn't show. What, it's balanced.
What would make this better?
I don't know. I mean, what does it need? Well, I
a
mean,
little grassiness in there or something like
it's
that?
It's not going to...
Be nice in the mid-palate?
Maybe a little more defined fruit notes.
Okay.
Possibly. Maybe a little run together, a little muddled. But it's not... But it's a large production Sauvignon Blanc. So what do you expect? You know? It's good for what... Well, I guess if we're talking about its category, high production. That would be a category. And so it's extremely good for its category. It's not a boutique. So.
Yeah, the fact that this is made in mass and is this delightful, I think is.
Yeah. And I think that's what Wilford might be referring to. Not to mansplain for Wilford because he needs that.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Are we rating this?
We'll rate them both
at the end.
At the end, yeah.
Okay, I always forget how we do that. Okay.
So now the Turley. California should have some oak.
So.
We put this in a little bit bigger glass, too, because it should have a little bit more expansive aromatics. And on the nose, straight up, there is mint and vanilla.
What's the...
Tim Atkins here.
What?
Oh.
Am I...
The 2019 Sauvignon Blanc Turley Estate is a soft perfume of musk, white peaches, and lemongrass.
Musk?
With pretty herbal notes. Light to medium-bodied, the palate is rounded and soft with delicate fruits and a long, very juicy...
Where did you find my review?
A softer, more understated style.
Where did you find that?
It's not his. It's the one Advocate.
Oh, it's a Advocate.
And it's actually the 2019.
Oh, is this 2020?
This is the 2020.
So it has nothing to do with this wine.
I will say the peach call out, though, is spot on.
White peach, yes.
Thank you for that.
Tasting notes.
Well, he said it.
Peaches, excellent. And I'm trying to think if we've ever smelled peach in a wine before.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's very,
not as nicely as this is done, though.
Lovely. Tasting notes from Turley themselves. We may be red-blooded red wine lovers at Turley. Oh, how we love you, Turley. But we still have lots of love for the pleasures of a clean, crisp white, especially this Sauvignon Blanc. In fact, Sauvignon Blanc was one of the first wines ever made from the Turley estate in 1993. Since we planted a small section of the estate to dry-farmed, head-trained Sauvignon Blanc from Heritage Napa Valley Budwood. Best advice to get while the getting's good, though. Larry's hoarding as much SB as possible for himself and sharpening his oyster shucker as we speak for the summer ahead. A little similarity, Wilford. He says oysters with this. From certified organic vines, hailing from Heritage Budwood as our beloved state Napa Valley. The Sauvignon Blanc is Larry's go-to wine all summer long. Fermented and aged in a combination of large and small used French oak barrels, stainless steel, and concrete. The result is a dynamic, utterly well-balanced, balanced, and satiating wine. Crisp, fresh aromas of lemon verbena, yellow pear, with a hint of white pepper. Excellently textured. Thank you, Concrete Egg et al. With crystalline yet ripe yellow fruits on the palate, light salinity, and a long, clean finish. Ready to drink now, well chilled at 40 to 50 Fahrenheit. So I have to say, we love the White Coat. Princess does too. But in last summer's batch, she said this is the best white she's ever had. Huh? She doesn't drink a lot of white. And she loves the White Coat. But she loved this better than a White Coat.
Oh, that's hard to do.
Well,
White Coat.
But from the drinkability standpoint.
Well, the White Coat is an emulation of a white Chateauneuf du Pape.
It's fantastic, folks.
It's really good wine.
It's
also twice the price of this. It's
no.
Closer to 50, isn't it?
I don't think so. I think it's in the 40s.
Okay.
Our price, but still.
I mean, after shipping, it's about 50.
Okay, all right. But it's not twice this.
You can't not be wrong.
Anyway.
Well, it's math. It's about twice the price.
Okay.
That would be 56 of our dollars.
Up your butt. Here we go.
Are we back to that?
Mm. Yes, we are. And I do see the peach, like Becky said, and but I still smell mint. And a little bit of vanilla.
I smell the lemon as well.
I was going to say, there's a herbal note there. Mint, maybe grassy, but mm-hmm. Peach or nectarine? Reminds me of a white nectarine.
Okay.
I love white nectarines.
Sure. It's a fuzzy thing. Okay. Nectarine or peach. Okay.
What a wonderful nose.
It's a lovely nose.
So, not to compare, but this nose is far superior to the Kim's.
It depends on what you like. I mean, this is the more elegant nose, but the Kim has a potent nose.
This is a bigger nose. Maybe it's the glassware. This has much
more
larger
complex
glassware.
No, well, we can try Kim in this glass, and that we can switch them back.
How dare you?
Ooh, here we go. That'll do. It's a little stewy. No.
You're a little stewy as in Family Guy. What a nice lengthy finish for a Sauvignon Blanc. I'm trying to think of a longer finishing Sauvignon Blanc than that.
You know what I like about it? It doesn't really show a great deal of oak, even though it's on oak. I was a little concerned about that. Because, I mean... Okay, some slapdick ones. Remember the Stag's Leap? Was it Kiat? No, the Stag's Leap Sauvignon Blanc. It tastes like butt. I mean, because it was an oak bomb. It was just, ugh. This doesn't fall into that trap. It really doesn't.
Lemon curd. There's a almost a grassy component, which I said I wanted to see in the Kim maybe to make it better, but it's not quite grassy. It's kind of,
This is a weird thing. While I'm drinking this, I can almost imagine myself swimming in it. I don't know why. That's so weird. No, it's just I don't know. It's so fleshy and refreshing and nice. You're like, it almost transports me to vacation. You're just drinking it, and my eyes roll in the back of my head. I'm like, Calgon, take me away. Kind of expression. I don't know why. It's not one flavor. It's not one thing.
We had this last summer at my house. This is not the first time you've had it. Didn't we have this at the backyard cookout last year?
I don't think so. First of all, I was not over drinking because I had to drive home. And all I remember was you pulling out that Prima stuff that tasted like butt.
It was awful.
Yeah,
that was
awful. I don't remember a white.
Did we have a white? No?
I brought a bottle of Tessier, and I was drinking that with somebody. So I don't recall a white. Mm-hmm. What you pulled out more after I left, because I wasn't there too late.
You were there as long as there was wine.
Like 11:30 or something, I think that was when I came. I had a curfew. Becky said I had to be home by 11, so I was. We had something going on the next day, I believe.
I feel like it was probably someone's birthday.
Something.
I feel like it was Loki's birthday.
There was a birthday party. You had to go to a birthday party.
I was under strict instructions not to.
You had to be home by midnight.
Or turn into a pumpkin.
Sometimes when we read reviews or tasting notes, you're like, what are you even talking about? You know, you can't even match it up. But the white pepper call out is really good on the finish. And that is something else that's pretty rare in a wine.
In a white?
Yeah. And it's just a...
That's got to come from the oaking. Right?
Yeah, I don't know where it comes from.
But what about the length of the finish for you?
Yeah.
Comparison point. Anything you can think of? I think this is better than last year's, even.
This is the first I've had it, but it's very good. The white pepper and the length of the finish are definitely standouts. And I like what you said, Rob, about the oaking. It's not overly done, and I was very relieved when Scott read the tasting notes that it was French oak. I didn't realize I'd been holding my breath. And then when you said French oak, I was like, oh, thank goodness.
But even,
you
know? even French oak with Sauvignon Blanc can be too much. I mean, you have to be very...
Can you imagine if this was American oaked? I mean, it would be a very different wine.
It would taste like Josh.
That's why I was like, oh, okay. So there is like hope for this,
it's
you know?
So interesting.
Jay Lohr's like, whoops, is that what we're not supposed to do that?
French oak barrels, stainless and concrete. And you, with those three blended... You get this wonderful mouthfeel. It's, did you get a little glycerin or a little oily on the nose? But the fruit's probably not as exciting to people.
No, it's not a fruit. It's not a fruit driven wine.
But yet the fruit is present. I love that lemon curd thing going on. The thing that makes the Kim Crawford, that it might appeal to more people than the Turley, is that transition from the wonderful fruit on the front that's so exposed. And as you said, it's you'd like it to be a little more distinct. Pick the tropical fruit out. Okay, fine. You can't. But then there's that transition to the finish with the grapefruit. And it's stunning. That grapefruit is there. It's perfect. It's just a great expression of tartness and acidity. This has acidity too. It's probably, I wouldn't want to know what the numbers are, but I'll bet the acidity is very similar if you chemically test these. It's just expressed differently because of the oaking. This is a wonderfully balanced, really well done. This is perfectly acceptable for the price variance between the two wines. This is superior for sure. And it's an interesting study in what Sauvignon Blancs can be. Hmm. They're two completely different wines.
Yeah, they are. What is the flavor right before you hit the finish, kind of mid? There's something different.
I said grassy, but that doesn't quite grasp it for me. Mm. Do you think it's a herbally or a
not?
Are you looking fruit? What do you? a spice. I caught a hint of grassiness.
I don't know what it is.
Well, lemongrass. It's a little bit of an Asian flair to it. There's that.
I'm trying to eat some ice to get the flavor, the finish out of my mouth.
Lemon
so I can
balm.
Try to get more of a palate, you know what I mean? Something, because it's, I don't know what it is. I'm trying to clear out my mouth to taste it again. I think it is definitely something that's acidic. I just don't know what it is.
So the acidity is present in the mid palate all the way through the finish.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know why I like this because it reminds me of Albariño.
It really does.
The flavor profile is, but texturally it does.
It's not as glycerin-y.
It's not quite, but it's daggone, it's going down that path. As body goes for a Sauvignon Blanc.
Very round, would you say?
Very round, and it's, you know, light, medium-bodied, as they said.
Yeah.
It's definitely not a light-bodied wine. But the roundness is very, very lovely. I don't know exactly what you're looking at, Becky. The best I can come up with is it's slight grassy, but it has an Asian flair to me, and that's why I'm saying lemongrass. Mm-hmm.
You taste it though, right?
Yes, something, and I taste the white peach nectarine mm-hmm. through the mid palate. Maybe a little bit of lemon tinge to that too.
Oh, I love the lemon in it.
I wouldn't call it quite lemon curd because it doesn't turn slightly sweet. Normally, lemon curd, I would associate that with just a little bit of a custard-esque and maybe, thing to, and it doesn't have that.
And maybe I'm blending the, as you called it, white peach nectarine with the lemon. That's where I get the lemon curd.
Well, yeah, once the wines I've had that I would say, I'm going to switch them, that I would say has lemon curd, you don't want to drink. Anybody want any more?
Yes.
So, something else I'm thinking about is drinkability. Oh. I think it's really, really nice, really, really love. Whoa. Pour some of that in your glass, Rob. I don't want all of that.
Scott's going to drink.
Yeah.
Open the hatch.
Yeah. But as far as drinkability goes to the masses, I don't know. I look at Rob, and he's got his glass tipped up.
Let me say that.
I'm just wondering if it's...
I think you're right. Are you getting at Kim Crawford?
I think more? Kim's more in mass drinkability.
Well, let me say this. The fact that it isn't overtly oaky, and it doesn't have anything that's challenging, I don't think, makes it... It keeps the drinkability high.
Yeah.
I can... I see your point. I brought it up. You know, what would the superstar say to this? How many bottles could he drink? And the answer would be, how many do you have?
He likes Albariño, so you would like... I think the drinkability on Turley is extremely high.
Yes.
But the thing, sometimes douchebags say...
Easy.
You don't know what I'm going to say yet. Say a wine has to challenge the palate in order to be good. It doesn't. It doesn't. It doesn't have to be surprising.
Nope.
It has to do what it's supposed to do well. And that does that really, 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 really well.
For me, particularly white wines, simplicity, there's something about a simplistic white wine that's structured that is fantastic.
I'm not talking about simplicity or complexity. Complexity doesn't necessarily challenge. We're talking about flavors. We're talking about things that you can find approachable and relate to. And the Turley has all those things. It doesn't have anything that's out of place for just a normal person. It doesn't have a tinge of oak that would be challenging. It doesn't have this weird acidity that some geek would say, some Sauvignon Blanc geek, I don't know if those exist, but would say, that's what I look for. But it'd be challenging. Oh, you just don't understand it because you don't really appreciate Sauvignon Blancs. It's not overtly grassy. Well, you don't understand Sauvignon Blancs because they should be. None of that shit. It doesn't, like, fuck that. It doesn't do that. That's what I'm talking about.
Right.
It still can have a bajillion different things that are complex, that make it complex, but all those things can be pleasing. Pleasing and complex can be the same thing. They don't have to be, they don't have to work against each other. That's what I'm saying.
I think the Turley has extremely high drinkability, but I agree with what Becky's saying that for the masses, they're going to like, Kim Crawford has a higher level of drinkability. Mm-hmm. But that's, you're mincing points there. I would say 95% of the drinking white wine population and the masses are going to care for the Kim Crawford. I bet it's in the high 80s for the Turley. That's my take.
Mm. But this is the thing.
That 5%, 8%. Okay, fine.
Here you go, though.
There's a little bit of oak there and you don't like it.
Put them both in a bottle that is unlabeled. Okay? I just took that. I mean, okay, I'm not.
This is a good point. This is a good point. Finish your thought.
The more pleasing wine is in this glass.
So
that's not a blind, but this I put actually the Turley in this glass, and I put the Kim Crawford in the big glass. But the acidity,
this glass and the other glasses, one's a smaller glass and one's. Describe the glasses to the listeners. They don't know what glasses you're talking about.
I swapped. So before we had the Turley in the larger glass and the Kim Crawford in the smaller glass. The smaller glass being the Riedel Venom, and the bigger glass being the Riedel. It's the New World Syrah glasses. I use that sometimes for big whites. I swapped them, but in reality, with the Kim Crawford, the thing that comes across that's more prominent when you're drinking it back to back with the Turley is the acidity. The acidity is far more bracing when you're drinking it back to back with the Turley because the Turley it's hidden in there. It's way in the back.
Yeah.
So, if you're drinking them back to back, someone's probably going to say, "I prefer the Turley," probably because they're going to say that it's too acidic, even though it's not. Because we drank this before we drank that, we drank the Kim Crawford before we drank the Turley, and it wasn't. It is just though in comparison.
Yeah, and the Kim Crawford finishes with the acidity, where the Turley that acidity comes on mid palate at the latest.
It has to have acidity because it's a Sauvignon Blanc, but it's not acidic.
That's an interesting comparison point.
Sauvignon Blanc doesn't have to be acidic. It has acidity because, well, most wines have acidity unless they have maloactic fermentation. But this, the Turley has acidity, but I wouldn't call it acidic, where I would call the Kim Crawford somewhat acidic because it's New Zealand. That's just the way they are. It's style.
Something that we haven't talked about that has nothing to do with the wine, mm-hmm. but is really beautiful that Turley does,
yeah.
is the way that the label on their whites look.
It's beautiful.
Oh, it's done.
It's so pretty.
It is pretty.
All of their reds have like a maroon and hunter green, maybe gold in it.
Pretty Spartan.
Yeah, really. Mm-hmm. But the
minimalistic.
The white Turley label is.
It pops.
Similarly Spartan, but with a delicate touch. Very artistic. The colors and the patterns.
Really, really pretty.
The Turley whites.
Their olive oil also has that same label.
Yes.
And their olive oil, by the way, folks, $18. Really, really good.
Yeah.
One of the best Christmas presents I've had in a long time.
It's nice. It's nice. It's one of those for bruschetta or anything. I mean, just a
you put it on heirloom tomatoes.
Oh, yeah.
It's tasting quality olive oil.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So good.
You don't cook with it. No. Two bottles will last you a year and a half.
And it has a density about it.
Oh, yeah.
That is, I've never had a California olive oil that has the density that the Turley olive oil has.
It's special, and it's not that expensive. It's a half bottle, but still. How much do you use for finishing olive oil? Or if you just like, I went to an olive oil tasting one time, And all you were doing is drinking the olive oil. It was enjoyable. It was at Katzinger's.
Really?
Yeah. Many years ago. It's good. Mm-hmm. See my friend Adam and my friend Matt's wife, Melissa. Adam, Melissa, and I went to it. Matt said, "What are you going to? You're going to drink oil? I'll meet you guys afterwards."
It is very pretentious sounding.
Yes.
But after having had Turley olive oil, mm-hmm. I would love to go to one.
No, it was good. It was good. I mean, it was nice. And really,
all across the country, there's vinegar and olive oil stores.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's one in Grandview.
You know, it's really good. And really, for those that don't know, I mean, you don't taste. How often do you get to really see the differences between the olive oils?
Yeah.
And olive oil can have the same complexity, really, as a wine can.
Like absolutely.
I'm not an olive oil expert, for Christ's sake, but good olive oil is really, really cool. So you should look seek that out. Find a local specialty store, and I'm sure there's some that probably, so if you know a good specialty store somewhere near you, they probably have a tasting like that. Or if not, suggest it, and they probably will do one.
Listen. If you struggle with inflammation, rheumatoid arthritis, or you have other issues that causes you inflammation.
Is this an infomercial? Is Tom Selleck going to be on here pretty soon? Scott Fowles talking about reverse mortgage? Oh.
Eliminate canola oil and go straight olive oil. And go get some high-quality olive oil. The antioxidant properties. Mm. You will, if you eliminate canola oil and vegetable oil from your diet and go to all olive oil, you will, in 2 weeks, notice a difference.
And strangely enough, occasionally, if you're on our WordPress site, you'll see an ad at the bottom that you can click on that talks about probably some sort of oil ingestion. Don't click on that. But Scott was probably just promoting that. He's probably got some money on the side. Was that Quad Pod money? Is that what you got?
That's not the oil that you were talking about.
By the way, we are on the Quad Pod network, so hi, guys. Just pointing that out.
Yeah.
We don't wrap much on that, but that's okay.
Hey.
We're on a network. It's like ABC.
Yeah. What, the ABC liquor stores?
Yes.
You've been in those?
The one down in Ashland. The ABC beverage centers. So, folks, we're going to take a break. And then we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So on tonight's potpourri, we have an exciting thing. We're going to play What Am I Tasting? The WineSpectator.com quiz that everybody loves. You can go on WineSpectator.com. You might have to sign up. It's extremely expensive. That's okay. Just do it. And it gives you a quiz. And they ask you, they'll read a review. And Scott and I have done this before, but we'll read the review from the Spectator. And you're supposed to guess where it's from. What the varietal is, where it's really from, and how old it is.
But now, before that, we have a celebration.
No, we don't.
Because Becky is reunited with Kim Crawford.
That's great. And don't play that. You're such a creep. Just a dumb gooch. I don't want to say
it. There's one perfect thing.
Dumb twat. I swear to God. Shut the fuck up. Okay, here we go. So, now mind you, folks,
you're supposed to sing along.
The Wine Spectator.
You just don't know the words.
The Wine Spectator assumes,
because it's understood,
that people know obtuse wines.
Because it feels so good.
You're not going to feel good when I kick you in the balls here in a second. So,
there's a.
I'm going to read the tasting notes
between us. You can't
listen.
Listen, kick around the corner.
You child, can you be quiet? Can you play the game?
Mm.
Okay. You want to go? Okay. Sure. Here we go. The Wine Spectator Tasting Notes. And are you listening to this, Becky?
I am.
Good. See? Tasting note. Offers, and I'm not going to read it like Wilford, so we understand it. Offers lots of energy with notes of dark chocolate covered licorice and blackberry paste, accented by tobacco and violet details that linger in the background. Offers firm grip, as the tannins need a bit more time to integrate. But this could be enjoyed now with the right food. So the varietals...
Read the first line again.
Offers lots of energy.
What?
I don't know. With notes of dark chocolate covered licorice.
My guess is a Red Bull.
That's repulsive. Well, here's the choices. Cabernet Franc. Cinsault. Pinot Noir. Saint Laurent and Syrah.
I'm gonna guess Syrah.
Well, that's actually. So here we go. Let's talk.
They gave you choices. I thought we were just gonna have to come up with our own.
No.
But yeah, I'm gonna go with Syrah.
Scott, well, we all have to agree is the thing. Scott, what do you think? I know which one I think. I believe it could be one of two. One of three. I don't think
one of three you're able to eliminate one.
Yes, but I'm stronger on two. Okay. Saint Laurent and Syrah.
Okay.
Cinsault is another one that it kind of bounces around, but that tends to be a little bit lighter than what that description is, don't you think, Scott?
Yes. That description, I don't think Cinsault.
Cab Franc, that could be a French Cab Franc from, you know, but. From Hermitage, that's not Hermitage. See, Hermitage from a Syrah, that's a big damn Syrah. But, yeah. And we've had, let's go down through here.
Read it one more time.
Please. No, I will not.
Yes.
Leave off the energy thing, because that's weird.
With notes of dark chocolate covered licorice and blackberry paste, accented by tobacco and violet details that linger in the background. Offers firm grip as the tannins need a bit more time to integrate, but this could be enjoyed right now with the right food.
Tobacco, black licorice.
The violet's throwing me off.
Blackberry. Yeah, violet is a little
What's
bit
the Saint Laurent? I've not had that.
Saint Laurent would be from Austria, but I think it might be a little bit lighter than that. Yeah. I actually think it's a Syrah, and I think it's Hermitage. Hermitage Northern Rhone, that's big. It's a big damn one.
Yeah, but these are... typically single varietal wines.
Yes, and Hermitage is. It's Syrah. Okay. They don't blend. Normally, Northern Rhone is Syrah based. Is Syrah.
Is this Tupac on the music?
It is.
What song is it?
It is Do for Love.
D-O for Love?
D-O for Love.
Yeah. I love his voice. Oh. Okay, carry on.
So I think it's Syrah, probably from, well, it's obviously French and Hermitage.
It's yeah, we got to go Syrah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can't really identify any, you know that when we go to where is it from, that's my worst.
Well,
the worst category, but I do think it is a Syrah.
Well, the Cab Franc, and this is the places that we could choose from. Austria, that's Saint Laurent. France, that's Syrah. Or Cab Franc, but it's not. Or Cinsault, really. New York, which would have been Cab Franc. That's the only one it could have been for that. Oregon, that's Pinot Noir. Or South Africa. I mean...
we got to go France.
Well, yeah, it's France. I know that. I'm not even... and I know it's Hermitage.
Well, it could be.
That's the only option. It's Franco-Chic. Hermitage, Long Island, Ribbon Ridge, Sternmark, or Swartzland. Swartzland is South Africa.
Hermitage.
Of course. And I'm going to say it's 3 to 5 years old because that's about what we always guess and we always get that one right.
Okay.
So we're going to say that is Syrah from France, Hermitage, exactly, and 3 to 5 years old. And we're going to submit and we got 2 out of 4 correct.
What did we get right?
Oh, my God.
It's the Cinsault.
It is Syrah.
Uh-huh. Okay. That's the only one I contributed.
But it's from South Africa.
Huh? Interesting.
And it's from Swartland. And it's 3 to 5 years old. That would explain some of the weird characteristics of the fruit, I suppose.
I don't know. I don't think they're weird at all.
Can I just say?
Yeah, that's pretty
weird. The only one that I knew was Syrah, and the only ones that Rob knew were both wrong.
I said a Syrah.
No, but you said it's definitely French, and guess what?
Did you know that there was South African Syrah, honestly?
I've never tasted any, but I mean...
I did not know.
I mean, it's possible.
Highly scored ones.
Rob, you know what I say to you?
What?
Boop, boop, boop.
I'll kiss my butt.
This is difficult.
And so it gives the explanation. So, our energetic mystery wine has firm tannins and notes of dark chocolate, licorice, blackberry. Let's figure out what it is. We can start by eliminating Cinsault. It makes lighter-bodied wines, as I said. Pinot Noirs, they display floral notes with moderate levels of tannins, but our wine's firm,
the
gripping structure.
The violet thing made me a little bit wonder if it was a Pinot, but...
Cabernet Franc, they can make full-bodied reds, which they can with tannins, dark fruit, and leafy accents. This sounds right, except our wine is missing Cab Franc's hallmark bell pepper, chili pepper, and mineral notes.
And overall taste of butt.
No. Mm-hmm. The Australian grape Saint Laurent produces lively blackberry, tobacco, and chocolate notes, which sound about right. This all sounds right, except Saint Laurents have low to moderate levels of soft tannins, which is true. Like, remember Dornfelner? Think of one that doesn't taste like ass.
Yeah.
That is big.
Dornfelners.
It's not supposed to be sweet. There are dry Dornfelners.
But you're comparing that to a Syrah?
No, St. Laurent. Oh. The description of St. Laurent. Okay. Yeah, I know you don't understand.
I didn't.
But when grown in warmer climates, Syrahs can make full-bodied wines with plenty of firm tannins and rich notes of dark fruit, preserves, chocolate, licorice, and tobacco. Sounds like our wine. It's a Syrah. We got that right.
Was it a Porcelainberg? Was that the maker? Who was the maker of the wine?
Here we go. France is Syrah's homeland, and the grape thrives in the country's southern wine regions. French Syrahs can display firm tannins like our wine, but particularly known for their savory minerality. It's true. They didn't mention a lot of minerality. When made in warm climate regions, South African Syrahs feature dark fruit, chocolate, licorice notes with powerful tannins. Okay. Then everything else is obvious. So, this is the Moulinieu Syrah Swartzland Scheitz Roundstone. It got 94 points. Interesting.
I will say...
From who did it get 94 from?
It's the Wine Spectator.
The 13 got 93 from the decanter.
Yes, but this is
a really good game spectator. For them to
Tim,
offer.
I mean a Tim Atkin article.
Yes, Becky.
It's a really good game for them to have, because if you read that description, or even like us where we're like, we didn't know that Syrah was in South Africa, it is very tempting to be like, order it. Let's try it.
Yep.
You know, like it's...
Mm-hmm. Well, this wine retails for $120.
Woo!
But wasn't that your first reaction? Like, I've never had that. Let's order it. That's what I thought, and I'm never like that.
Or there's an entry one that's like $43 from the same maker.
It sounds like motor oil to me. It's like a little bit... It's a little intense for me.
I really enjoy Syrahs and Petite Syrahs.
I know, I do too, but... Yeah.
But it's just so different. That's why I'm saying that it was like... We should try that.
It's true.
100%. We should look for it on the discount.
Moulinieu. Do we want to do one more?
Yeah, Let's do one.
Let's do one more.
By the way, that Moulinieu, 25 cases were imported to the United States. So
25?
Hopefully you got yours early. All right. Here we go. So the review is fresh and juicy with... good cut on the red currant and dried berry flavors that featured bright minerality. Ends with a creamy, well-spiced finish with notes of dried green herbs.
That is a disgusting review.
Did we do this before? No, we didn't.
No.
Read it again.
Fresh and juicy with good cut to the red currant and dried berry flavors that feature bright minerality. Ends with a creamy, well-spiced finish with notes of dried green herbs. The choices are Carignan, Merlot, Syrah, Tempranillo, and Zinfandel. Which, it's not Zinfandel. We know that.
Tell me what was before Tempranillo.
Syrah.
Oh.
Good. Okay.
So I don't think it's Syrah. I don't think it's a Tempranillo. What was the other one?
Merlot, Carignan, and Syrah.
I don't know Carignan. I don't know that to speak to it.
It's fresh and juicy. I believe, actually, Brightman Around ends with a creamy, well-spiced finish with notes of dried green herbs. What do you think, Scott?
The creamy finish is what's kind of thrown me.
I know.
On all of those. The creamy finish makes me think Merlot.
Me too.
Yeah. That was my thought as well, honestly.
I mean, sometimes Syrahs can have a creamy finish. The others, Carignan, I suppose could have a creamy finish, but I don't think of a creamy finish with a Zin.
Yeah.
I don't think of a creamy finish with a Tempranillo at all.
The herbal nature of it eliminates a Zinfandel for me. Zinfandels are juicy, but they have spice. They have a lot of other things. They don't have any of this rest of the stuff. I think that...
I think we have to eliminate the Zinfandel, like you said.
Oh, yeah, and I think
it's a Tempranillo, too. It's got to be the Merlot.
I think it's a Merlot, but it sounds like a Merlot that isn't expensive Merlot.
Read it one more time so we're not
fresh and juicy. Yeah. Fresh and juicy with good cut to the red currant and dried berry flavors that feature bright minerality. Ends with a creamy, well-spiced finish with notes of dried green herbs. I mean... I think it sounds like the creamy finish, yeah, Merlot. Syrah, red currant, dried berry flavors. Not really. I think it's, and creamy, no, that's not Syrah.
It's Carignan or Merlot?
I think it's Merlot. Because what would be Carignan anyway? I mean, our choices then for the region are Australia, California, France, Spain, and Washington. I'd say that sounds Cali to me.
You said, tell me the choices on places.
Australia, California, France, Spain, or Washington.
Oh. Honestly, I don't know, because when you said there was something about vegetable that made me think maybe South American, but sometimes don't we see that in, what's the other place where we see some vegetable?
Well, lower quality things can show off veggie stuff all the time.
That's true. So what are you thinking? A Merlot from where?
Well, I'm thinking that we've done this one before, because I think it's Kendall Jackson's Vintner's Reserve Merlot. Let me guess. Because I'm looking at this. This looks familiar. I'm going to say Merlot. I'm going to say Sonoma. I'm going to say California. I'm going to say Sonoma County. Folks, they only have somebody available. I'm pretty sure we've done this before. I'm going to say 3 to 5 years. Submit. Oh, I got 4 out of 4. Who knew? Let's just take a look. I can only play the game so long. Is it right? Hey, I'm right. It's the Kendall Jackson Merlot Sonoma County Vintners Reserve.
That's ridiculous.
They give a 90 of their points. It doesn't sound like a 90. Well, I thought I had heard that. See, let's try this. See more, what am I tasting? Okay, we'll do one more, folks. But we'll go down where I know we haven't done one before. I looked at that and went, well, this is enough. Okay, here we go. This is brimming with steeped fig, black currant, and plum fruit.
Say that first word again.
Steeped. Steeped.
Oh, like, okay.
Yeah.
Steep-a-tea bag.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Inlaid liberally with lively bramble, sweet tobacco, and roasted applewood notes.
Thank you.
Shows heft and weight, but delivers bright cut through the finish. Rock solid. By the way, that is one of my favorite worded wine reviews of all time.
Read it again, because it is a fantastic. That's an exciting one.
I like that.
I don't know that it's very descriptive of the wine.
It's kind of dopey, but I like it.
It makes you want to drink it.
Yes, yeah. This wine is brimming with steeped fig, black currant, and plum fruit, inlaid liberally with lively bramble, sweet tobacco, and roasted applewood notes. Shows heft and weight, but delivers bright cut through the finish. Rock solid. Bravo.
This is the best marketing they could do.
Read the fruit again, please.
Fig, black currant, blue or plum fruit.
And then applewood what?
Applewood notes. Our choices are Cabernet.
I feel like it has to be a cab. That's what I was thinking. What are the other choices?
Pinot Noir.
No, I don't think so.
Grenache. Mourvèdre. Or Zegwelt.
I don't know what that one is, but I would still pick that cab.
One. I'm right between a Grenache and a Mourvèdre, but it doesn't talk about tannin. So that's why I'm leaning more towards Grenache.
I like the Grenache.
But let's go down to Austria, California, France, Oregon, or Spain. Well, we know it's not France because the French option is Alsace. That's not... there isn't an Alsatian Grenache. What the hell? The appellations are Alsace, Humia, Rutherford, Santa Cruz, Stellmark, and Willamette Valley. Well, Mourvèdre.
I don't know, but I'm so excited to find out what it is and see if we can afford to buy it.
What do you think, though, about fig and plum fruit on the bramble on a Mourvèdre? I don't know. Roasted applewood notes. Have you ever really thought of that on a...
You know, we play this game, we should go through and look at all the questions. All the regions and everything, so we have a full package.
I just did.
Like we did that. Yeah. I think it's a fair way of doing it.
I mean...
I think the brambly, that's what honestly is making me think and advocate for it being a cab. Because so many times that's been the description we've used for cabs.
Oh, no, I use that for Zin. I do.
I have a hard time imagining that to be anything other than a cab.
Rutherford cab?
Yeah, where's the that's dustiness? Where I was headed to.
It doesn't, once again, but there's no mention of tannin. So, I think actually it's a Mourvèdre.
Tell me about what was the other one, Willamette?
Yeah, but Pinot Noir would be Willamette. That's not a Pinot Noir.
Yeah.
Well,
I don't think it's Pinot.
Steeped fig, black currant, and plum fruit. A big damn Pinot could be that. Inlaid liberally. What does that mean?
You're a Democrat and you like sex.
I guess. I mean, what does that mean? Sweet tobacco and roasted applewood notes. It reads like a wine from the colonies, doesn't it? A New World wine. Uh-huh. But if it's Mourvèdre, it's not. And so that's kind of, because this is the thing. You're trying to outthink the reviewer. So if the reviewer is going to probably normally use descriptors that reference things from the country, right?
Yep.
They don't use applewood notes to describe Mourvèdre, but sweet tobacco. I mean, I don't know.
I'm seriously so impatient because I want to know how much it costs.
The thing is, though, could it be a Cabernet from Santa Cruz?
I thought it was Rutherford.
No, that's not Rutherford. Santa Cruz Mountains is also on there. And those can be a little bit squirrely, but I don't like for Cabernet. I don't.
You can get fig in certain Cabernets. It's not...
Oh, sure.
You can. Fig's the one that made me think Grenache, but could it be the cab?
Well, this is the thing. What is famous in Santa Cruz for Cabernet? You don't know.
I don't know.
Ridge Montebello.
Oh, yeah.
Mount St. Eden. Mount Eden is also there, too, but it's Montebello. Ridge Montebello. I mean, you know, Martin Ray does it, too, though. But no one's ever called Montebello Brambley. I've had Montebello a couple times. Thank you. It's not Brambley. It's otherworldly, but it ain't Brambley. So I think, yeah, the Bramble, that's where I'm hung up. But have I ever called a Mavedre Brambley?
Yeah.
Have I?
They can be.
I don't know. I'm going Mavedre. What does everybody think? It's all about majority rule wins.
Rebecca.
I'm sticking with Cab.
You're saying Cab. Scott.
I still like Grenache, but neither of you do.
Well, I mean, there isn't a place that the Grenache could come from. I said, well, no, like, you could say, well, no, Humilla is.
I just think
I would honestly, if I was ranking them, I would say number one Cab, number two, I would say Grenache.
I would
the Bramble.
Yeah. Well, how would you rank yours, one and two?
Grenache, Mavedre.
And then, Rob, what would you say?
Mavedre, Grenache.
So we can pick one of those two. I would be okay going with Grenache.
Yeah, let's go Grenache. Okay. But where is
it's
it going to
be Cab Watch?
Where's it from?
And I'm going to gloat forever.
It can't be from France because the only French option is Alsace. So it can't. The only place from Spain is Humilla. I suppose it's a Humilla Grenache. I guess we'll just do it.
What are the other options?
Rutherford, Santa Cruz Mountains, Sternmark, and Willamette Valley. None of those are. Sternmark's in Austria, you know, two Cali places, and there isn't like, it's not like American Grenache. In age, we always go 3 to 5 years old. We're going to do that again. Submit. Okay. We got the age correct.
Oh,
we always get the age correct. Well, so one out of four correct. Well, show me the answer.
One out of four ain't bad.
If it's Mavedre, I'm going to go meh.
It's going to be Cab from Santa Cruz.
Oh, I'm sure.
If it's Cab, I want to let like a light up sign above my chair.
I'm actually not going to tell you what it is.
Because it's a cab.
It is a cab.
Da da da.
While Cabernet, let's just figure this out here. Mavedre is the second. So what they do is the least likely is the top one, and that's Pinot. They say Pinot, right. You're stupid. The next one is what they say you would stoop is Grenache. They say you're
stupid. We were mostly stupid.
Yeah. Then Zeguel is next, but nobody really knows. I've had it, but whatever. But the closest one, Mavedre, also known as Monastrell, is often used as blending and grape to add body, dark berry, meaty. And see, that's the thing, meaty. And herbaceous notes. Our wine is missing both Mavedre's signature meaty accents as well as its pronounced violet aroma. Currant and plum flavors are hallmark of Cabernet along with the earthy tobacco accents. Well,
Mavedre doesn't often have violet. It can.
Give me
a break.
And aromas of toast or wood confirmed by oak aging, sure. While Cabernets tend to be on the full-bodied and structured side, they can have plush tannins that can be balanced by bright, moderate acidity. Yeah, but where's the brambliness?
Where's that even discussed in that review?
It's not. This wine is a Cabernet.
Yes, it is.
It's from California. Yes, we knew that.
Santa Cruz?
No.
Rutherford?
It's from Rutherford.
I thought there was a Rutherford in there. When you said, no, it's not Rutherford, then I would have gone Cab, because Fig is in Mount Veeder. Stag's Leap.
You know what, Scott? That was our original thing, was Cab, and you said Rutherford, and we should have gone with it. But it was again.
Except when I asked, is it Rutherford, he said no.
I know, but you said that, and we should have just gone with it. Because sometimes it was like we got in our heads too much. Well, we do when we have to guess.
The Fig was the thing.
But yeah. No, Scott, they don't even mention Fig. I'm reading it right here, but Fig is not a mention at all. Apparently, this is from Trinity Lakes, which is part of Rutherford, which is bullshit. So, the Cabernets made here tend to be medium to full-bodied and complex with solid currant and plum flavors, herbal accents, and balancing acidity. It has nothing to do with fig. Fig is...
Fig, blackcurrant, plum, and blue fruit.
Yeah, but that's not... That's a red herring. That's not what they based it on.
Okay, so... It had fig in
it. Well, so what? A lot of wines have fig
in
it.
How much does it cost?
It costs $95. And Scott's had a few of their wines. It's Frank Family Cabernet Rutherford Reserve from 2015.
Right on.
Yeah.
That was a lovely review, though.
It was a lovely review, but it wasn't... I mean, it threw me off with the Brambley because I didn't think... I eliminated Cabernet right there because they said Brambley. I know that was stupid. Well,
yeah,
but
it's a Zin descriptor.
Well, it's a off-kilter, rustic descriptor. You know? And we always say Rutherford dust, but that doesn't mean anything.
It's not all Rutherfords have Rutherford dust, though.
Well, what is Rutherford dust? It's just the type of...
You know it. You talk about it all the time.
I know. That's the... But it's in the tannin. But they didn't talk about tannin.
At all. Which made it difficult to... For the Grenache, for the Mourvèdre.
Then again, they pick reviews that are particularly difficult to decipher. So, with that, folks, we're going to take
a
break.
It's a fun game.
It is. It is. And eventually we'll get good at it, especially when we've done them before.
That's the only way
I got the Merlot 4 for 4.
Will you like do it before the show and write them down and then do it? Even then it'll be hard because we'll talk ourselves out of it. Well, I know what the answer is, but that doesn't sound right.
You know, some shows would do that.
We did it. No. Not intentionally. But...
Well, not intentionally, yes, I know. So, folks, we're going to take a break and we're going to come back with reviews right here on the Wine Vault. We're back, folks. So, the 2019 Kimmy Crawford, as Becky would refer to it, Sauvignon Blanc from...
I wouldn't refer to it as Kimmy Crawford. I would refer to it as
Kimmy. Sorry. And the Turley from 2019 Napa Valley Sauvignon Blanc. We're going to go around the room. We're going to get some reviews. We're going to start off with the Triple B. First, you're going to provide a numerical score to Kimmy. Then second, you're going to provide a numerical score to the Turley.
We've all done the scores of integrity, I trust.
Well, yeah.
If you're a new listener, scores of integrity are before we taste the wine, although somebody did a cheat and tasted maybe before they did the scores of integrity.
Which is not true. I did not do
anyway,
that.
And we predict what the others are going to score for the individual wine. So this is a tricky one because there's two wines.
I would say in general, the wine guy has no integrity. Would you agree?
Particularly when it comes to the Wine Vault.
And when it comes to Turley. Okay, so my Kim Crawford review, the words I wrote down were, tastes like sunshine.
Oh, I love that.
It does, doesn't it?
Sunshine?
It does. Taste it.
I mean, there are harmful UV rays in sunshine, so I suppose it does.
Tastes like sunshine.
Tastes like sunshine. Jesus.
Citrus, like we discussed. Lovely and happy. 90.
90?
Yep.
Okay, good for you. You don't.
I love Kim Crawford.
I know. Oh, Canada.
I feel the same way about Kim Crawford Sauvignon Blanc that I do Turley Old Vines in.
But they sold their name.
I would fight somebody for both of those wines. I love them so much.
But Kim Crawford did sell his name.
Is that the time to talk about it now?
That is. But that's okay. Now,
you like to pretend like I forgot that.
You did.
It was one hell of an episode.
That's true. You were upset about that, but you're leaving that out in your score. But the Turley, please.
For Turley, the peach and the white pepper are... I honestly am a little bit of a loss for words because they are just so unusual and just really, really good. Mm. Just I need a better word than good, but it just is so unusual. It's so unexpected, but so delicious.
Unexpected. I love
tasty
that.
Yeah. Is a very technical wine term.
Yeah. So good.
Yummy, yummy.
And the finish, like we discussed, it goes on and on, which you just don't normally see in a white. I don't think it's as drinkable as the Kim, but that doesn't mean that's not a knock on it. I think it's more of a technical wine, just as good, but I think that it's not a beginner's Sauvignon Blanc. How's that? Something that I said off air for both of these wines is they both had oyster pairings recommended, but honestly, I wouldn't eat anything with either one of them because I think they're so delicious on their own. I wouldn't want, really anything to pollute the tasting of it because they're both so good. But for my Turley review, I give it a 92.
Whoa.
Very nice.
Really, really good.
The Kim Crawford. Straightforward but delicious. The structure of the wine is the star for me.
Straightforward is such a good way to describe it.
And there's
it's not an insult.
No, it's not at all.
Straightforward is what you want in white wines, in my opinion. Particularly ones that are... Let's say what it is marketed for the masses. This is on the high end of wines that are marketed for the masses.
It's the category. It's what I was referring to.
Catechism?
What? Catechism.
The category of your imprisonment?
Catechism?
Cataclysmic?
I liked my priest. I don't know what you're talking about. We had a lot of fun.
You're a bad man.
What?
But the... typical tropical fruit up front, then the transition to the finish that was grapefruit and a wonderful acidic finish. Straightforward, beautiful. Can drink it all day. As Becky said, sunshine. Love it. Love it. But I'm going to go 89 of my points.
For Kim. Okay.
The Turley... This is we love, Princess and I loved last year's Sauvignon Blanc. This year's better, folks. I'm also at a 92. A word we didn't mention about this wine, sophisticated.
Hey, get your phone down, sophisticated.
Sorry.
That's right.
Sophisticated. The peach notes on the nose, the white peach nectarine combination with the lemon. I called it lemon curd, but really that's between the two things. I liked your descriptor of the two different fruits. Mm. That mid palate of the grassy thing that I don't think we completely described, but then the finish, the length, the way this is treated with oak, stainless, and concrete. The oaking is so subtle and so wonderful, that white pepper, but the length of the finish is spectacular.
Mm.
92 of my points. And how many bottles of this am I going to buy next year?
Well, that's a
lot. I know.
And you, so this is going to be on your list now, isn't it?
No, let me say this.
That was a direct question.
Okay, right now...
Rebecca... How many of these bottles is Rob going to buy next year?
We had such a long discussion about. The whites are so hard to decide with Turley. They really are.
Are they?
I mean,
what's the decision about this?
Okay, let's just start. It's my turn to give my reviews.
But we're discussing
You've
something.
Had your time to shine.
We're discussing
tell
something.
Tell me again what you...
How many bottles of this are you going to buy next year?
No. Tell me your points.
92.
And then what was your Kimmy?
89. Okay.
All right. Cue Russian music. I never have done this to myself, but right now, the Russian national anthem has started playing.
And your daughter's crying.
That's right. Well, yeah, I know. Okay. Now, let me start off by saying, I like both of these wines a lot. Differently. I think that the Kim Crawford is a lovely, tasty wine you can buy everywhere. And quite frankly, it's a well-done wine. I mean, they're making 30 bajillion cases, and they're making a wine that tastes like New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc. You know, not like high level, but normal New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc should taste. It's what, when I think, hey, I'm going to drink New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc tonight. This is what I think about, you know? It's what I expect. And that's a good thing, okay? That's the standard bearer. It is. And, okay, he sold his name and now it's mass-produced, whatever. But they didn't go Mayomi. They make good Sauvignon Blanc. Straight, hard-laced, good Sauvignon Blanc. With that, it would do better, probably, be honest, if it wasn't tasted at the same time as Turley. It's not quite fair, but it does expose its flaws. So there's that. I'm going to provide this wine a very, you know, Eastern Bloc 87 of my points.
Oh, my God.
Perestroika, perestroika.
Admittedly,
perestroika.
I know. Perestroika. I do not mean to deflate your enjoyment of it, and I'm glad that you guys like it to that level. It's great. Please get your phone away from the fucking mic because I can hear it.
Rebecca.
But it's a little acidic.
Rebecca, you're that's training.
That's a stupid review.
And you gave it the same score as the wine enthusiast, and we know that that's wrong.
Rebecca, your training has worked well on this one. He is embracing the ways, comrade.
I will tell you, he is your review has made my blood pressure go up. Probably 20 points.
That's fine. He's doing it just to fuck.
No, I'm not.
Oh, bullshit.
I feel bad.
Scott is exactly right.
Look, yep. I did not think that you would give it a 90, but apparently you don't know what you're doing. So you gave it a 90.
Oh, ow. Honestly, easy. It's really good.
Kim deserves the 100.
It's good. It's not really good.
It is so. What is its flaw that you mentioned?
He did say that. You did say flaw.
What is it?
Overtly acidic and it's somewhat
no,
simplistic.
Not overtly. Oh, I disagree. I think the acidity is wonderful.
And the beauty of it is its simplicity.
I think that tasting it back to back with the Turley
this is not
a
fair.
Little, no. It's saying, well, I know that you like that and I know you think that's great. However, try this. And then you taste that and you're like, okay. I still will drink this and I think it's lovely. I would buy it. No hesitation. No hesitation whatsoever. And I think it's good. It's a good... I'll put in the Value Price Hall of Fame.
With an 87?
Yeah.
He's trying to save...
Because I got a boo-boo 90. But still, that's okay.
He's trying to save his...
I mean, if you like
manhood
it.
When it comes time to share the bed with his...
That's all right. I don't care.
Betrothed.
But then on to the Turley. The Turley Napa. Becky and Scott gave it 92s. Okay, that's great. I'm going to give it, and I think it's better than the Kim Crawford. 1 point better. I'm going to give it an 88 of my... No, I'm not going to give it an 88 of my points. I'm giving it a 91 of my points.
To be fair, honestly, that's where I was at first, but I was high on the 91.
You're giving it a 91?
Yeah, this is the reason why, and let me explain this why. I think it's lovely. Now, when we get up into that... Get above 90, then you're starting to throw it into other wines because there is a ceiling that certain varietals, in my opinion, just my opinion, certain varietals can achieve. Have you ever seen a 100-point Robert Parker Sauvignon Blanc? No, you have
probably not.
And so when you get it up to that, you start picking at it. So what is a perfect Sauvignon Blanc?
Do you know? Think that maybe he hasn't had Kim Crawford, and that's why
I'm pretty sure
he's
he
not
has.
Giving out.
I'm pretty, and he gave an 87. I'm pretty sure.
I think that's what happened.
Yeah, that's great. are you sure? Have you ever had this? Kim? He'd be like, "Do you know who I am? I don't know who you are. Oh, you have a podcast." Is that on my ham radio that I have? I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm Robert. I'm sorry. I need to get some more adhesive for my toupee. That's what he would say. But
easy.
Okay. Woo.
Whoa.
Well, excitement.
Upset Bo.
It did. Well, everything upsets Bo. But 91.
Nothing's upset Bo as much as Scott doing the Wilford Wong. He was passed out on the floor.
That doesn't sound... It sounds like somebody's dying in a vat of, like...
Do you listen to yourself?
No. What?
He was so... When you did that, Scott, he was like...
Why? What
are you... Even now. Scott, are you all right?
It sounds like... It does sound like me, but it sounds like me after a night with a friend of mine. And I'm gargling on something, if you get my drift. So...
But that's the thing. Take my 87 into context, where I'm saying that there is a capped Sauvignon Blanc. It can only be so good. So maybe my 87 is a 94. You know.
Okay, James Suckling.
Yes. nevertheless.
You know, we miss James.
I know you do.
Not as much as Tim does.
He doesn't have to miss me if you get my drift. The Turley Sauvignon Blanc does go in the Hall of Fame.
Has to.
It does.
Really?
Becky's phone goes in the Hall of Shame.
It's just...
Damn that thing. It's not even close. I looked at it. You have it like 4 feet away. It's like,
yeah.
People love Sauvignon Blanc. They do, but it's a little more of a simplistic variety.
It is.
Of grape, and they've treated it so well, so artistically. You know, and sometimes in the tasting notes... You don't know whether you want to believe, oh, this is Larry's favorite wine for the summer. I believe it.
Yeah.
This is fan-freaking-tastic. And if I was going to pair it with something, it would be a salty, freaking fresh oyster.
If I was going to pair it with something, I'd pair it to R. Kelly's Honey Love, which is on the... Is he out of prison or is he still in prison?
Well,
where
do you want him to be?
He was in prison.
Oh, yeah. He's always in prison. But is he going to trial?
They stopped covering him. I thought he was still, like... At his house.
No.
On house
arrest. He never got bail. No, he's in prison. Whatever happened to R. Kelly? Because I know, I mean, allegedly, he had done a lot of bad things.
Yeah, I thought for sure he was still at his house.
Bill Cosby's like, look at that son of a bitch. I mean, that's R. Kelly. You know, or he goes, you can do that? Well, now that I'm out. I don't mean to insult your hero.
Singers... Lawyers granted a slight delay in start of upcoming New York sex trafficking trial.
Well, that trafficking shit, you know. So he's still in prison, though.
R&B singer moves from Chicago jail to Brooklyn Detention Center.
Oh, that's nicer. That's nicer. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, he was denied bail, huh?
Has he ever heard about committing...
The Federal Bureau of Prisons website confirmed Wednesday that Kelly had been moved. He's not just in jail. He's in federal...
Oh, he's in federal?
Federal
Bureau. Well, that's better than the Brooklyn, New York City jail.
No, it's Chicago Metropolitan Correctional Center to a Brooklyn Detention Center.
Don't read anymore. Look up. How old is R. Kelly? Don't look.
He's got to be in his 50s.
53?
He's 54. I thought he was like...
He's younger than you, Scott.
I thought he was my age-ish.
What? He's been around forever, and he's been in prison for like 10 years now, just waiting
10?
For trial.
I think longer than that.
Waiting for trial, damn. Now he'll be acquitted.
His first case was in 2002.
Well, you know, it's a misunderstanding, like really. He just had to go to the bathroom, really, and that girl was there, and he's like, well, you look at the toilet.
I seriously thought he was at his house with an ankle monitor. I can't believe he's in jail.
That was early on.
Normally when you urinate and defecate, did he defecate on anybody?
Easy.
And it's a question. I'm not accusing him of it.
I just feel like Well, so number one, I can't follow his case too closely because it's so upsetting. It's so disturbing to me. But I think the last I had ever heard, he had an ankle monitor at home, and then I just stopped listening.
No, top tip. If you're
I think that was his original arrest. I think he's been in lockup for a long time. If you decide
that it's an idea to urinate on an underage girl, you probably will not get bail. Just saying. So in case you were wondering.
I guess he tried to get bail so that he could help with his own defense.
Yes, he tried to get bail. However,
the judge said no.
He's accused of urinating on an underage girl. So that...
That's honestly the least offensive thing he's done. He's done so much else that's so horrific.
I mean, you know, that's pretty bad.
It's disgusting, but he's done a lot of other crazy
You know, Bill Cosby did a lot of bad things.
Right.
But he never urinated on anybody that we know of. So,
how do you know?
Well, they were passed out. Yeah, well, yes. Involuntarily passed out, allegedly. So, folks.
Okay, let's compare our scores.
Oh, scores of integrity. I almost forgot. So, Becky, what did you...
I love that segue from R. Kelly to scores of integrity.
Well, they're about the same. So, Becky, what did you think everybody gave?
So, I thought you all would both give Kimmy an 88.
Oh. Okay. So, Becky thought Rob and Scott would get an 88.
So, I'm only off by, what, two points there? And then, for Turley, Scott 92, Rob 91.
Nice.
Holy shit. Nailed it. It's safe to say you won this game.
You don't know what I've done.
Add them up. Yeah, I do.
Go ahead.
You don't know what I did.
Okay, what'd you do?
No, go, Scott. You go ahead. What did you think?
So I had Turley, Rob, I had you as 89.
That was wrong.
Yeah.
And Kim, I had 88.
Whoa.
For me?
Yeah.
Okay.
And Becky, I had, respectively, 90 for Turley and 89 for Kim.
Huh.
So that's...
A lot.
3, 5, 6 away. That's not bad. 6 is not bad for...
That's bad.
For two wines.
Be better
than
you. No. Two wines, 4 reviews.
So, I thought Scott would give Kim Crawford 88 of his points. So I'm off by 1.
Okay.
And I thought Becky would give Kim Crawford 89 of her points. So that's off by 1.
That's 2.
And so then I thought the Turley, Scott would give the Turley 91 of his points. So I'm off by 1.
That's 3.
And I thought Becky would give Turley 91 of her points. So I'm off by 1.
That's 4.
That's pretty consistent,
though.
So I
did
win. Yes, you did, but I got 2nd.
Honestly, actually, all were really... Close for
yeah,
scores
two,
integrity.
4, 6. Yeah, really close.
Yeah.
I'm so interested, Scott, that you thought on scores of integrity we would barely score Turley above Kimmy.
That's strange. Why would you think we give it so low? You hate Turley? You gave it a 92.
I don't know if it's a hate Turley or if it's
I have not had this vintage.
I think it's a recognition of the love of Kimmy. I don't think it's a hate on Turley. I didn't view it that way.
This is even better than last year's. I had expectations for it, but this exceeded them.
Whoa.
We loved last year's vintage. And Princess is not a white wine drinker. As soon as she had the first bottle, she's like, can we have another one of that? Give me another one of that. I'm like, that's all we got, honey.
I almost would give it a point, deduct a point if I was thinking correctly, because it's so hard to get.
Oh, that's got nothing to do with your
But you
scores.
Know what I mean, though. You want to buy more, and it's
But that's collectability. So they're that they adds 2 points.
Well, and also, I think you could hold this for a year or two.
Oh, sure.
Easy. I mean, and then... So the question remains on the floor. Rebecca, how many bottles of this is Robert going to buy next year for next year's summer allotment?
I don't know. Becky, though.
I'm not talking to you, sir.
You've never had the white coat, Becky. If you think this is good.
You're the one that buys our Turley.
Well, you.
I think you need to become more involved.
I will buy White Coat. However, I have to have the allocation expenses extended by about $100 to do so.
But you need to buy the Sauvignon Blanc, too.
I can't reduce the reds by the amount that I would add White Coat in.
If you can reduce summer reds, you can reduce the summer reds.
But yes, it's not the summer. It's fall. Are they getting White Coat fall?
Falls. There was summer allocation.
White, well, I know.
They changed the allocation.
Did we get a summer? Yeah, we got a little bit. Yeah, we got some of the, because I like the Stisi Ranch quite a bit. It's nice. So it's cheap, too. I like it. But the White Coat really is an ultra premium white. If there is such a thing, that's an ultra premium white. This is very good.
You hear me?
This is up there.
Well, the White Coat is an ultra premium white. I would say that. It's
for the price point we get on the email allocation, $28 a bottle.
That's a good buy.
This is freaking
fantastic. We have a couple of bottles of it.
We got two.
You told me to, yes. We have two.
You that's bought the Sauvignon Blanc, so you've got it?
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking, but then I was like, we change our mind?
Well, you didn't know I had that?
Didn't. Oh, I talked you into it. I didn't know you did it.
Was this your last bottle?
Hell no, this is the only one I took out of the box. I
was hoping it was, because that would be upsetting for you. No, so, folks,
I would gladly share my last bottle of Turley Sauvignon Blanc with my friends, the Derns.
I wouldn't. So.
Bastard, man.
Yeah, I know. For Rob the Wine
Would
Guy.
You share it with me, or you wouldn't share it with anybody?
I would, but you'd only drink a glass anyway. You know,
I'm out of this.
You don't drink that much. Just a thimble. I'll just give you a thimble. Can I get a thimble wine glass? I'm going to look that up. Riedel, do you make a wine glass that's the shape of a thimble?
It's called a shot glass.
No. A thimble. But it's properly proportioned. Don't be an ass. Grow up.
That pot, kettle, black.
I'm amazed that you were able to go through that. I know Bo's asleep.
He's so cute, though, right now. Look at him.
Because it's understood. If you find...
There's one perfect thing.
Oh, shut up.
Sugar, this one is real.
Jesus Christ. Folks, if you're...
I know we're both excited because we're united again.
If you would like to be a presenter on The Wine Vault, The Wine Vault at outlook.com, please email me, please.
Reunited.
I think that Rob's
Becky
saying that because...
loves some Kim.
This week, someone emailed me specifically.
Texted you. Or emailed you?
They emailed me. Stop saying that. They emailed me.
Yeah.
And Rob is all out of sorts that I was the contact.
Okay. I'm glad some spammer emailed you.
It's very upsetting to you.
I'm glad some spammer emailed you.
Mm-hmm. I think the Austrian therapist needs to visit you.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Oh. So, for Rob the Wine Guy, Scott the Lines, Taxi Driver, and the Triple B, we're going to bid you adieu. But see you next time. Shut the fuck up. Here on The Wine Vault. Good night.